Exodus 23, verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labours, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labours out of the field. Three times in the year all thy meals shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Let's turn over to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, and just one verse from the chapter. Exodus 34 and verse 22. Exodus 34 and verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Amen. And let's please look to the Lord as for a short time we think about the feast of ingathering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the power of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, that the power of the gospel is still the same as it was at the beginning of this year. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that, Lord, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save has not diminished since the beginning of 2009. O Lord, we even pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless us as we think of the gospel tonight, and even as we would, Lord, speak to thy people. Even, Lord, we pray that the people of God tonight will be encouraged, and Lord, that thou wilt speak to them, and that even, Lord, that thou wilt have a message for them on this final Sabbath evening of another year. O Lord, remember us. Have mercy upon us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we want to consider the Feast of Ingathering. You will have noticed from the two passages that we read that it is specifically stated that the Feast of Ingathering was to take place at the end of the year. And of course, you don't need me to tell you that we have come to the end of another year. And you know, friends, as we look back over this year, we can praise God for the ingathering, as it were, the ingathering. You see, the Jewish people, whenever they came to celebrate the Feast of Ingathering, they were thanking God for the harvest that had been gathered in safely. Jewish people, predominantly in Bible times, would have harvested olives and grapes. So they would have harvested olives and grapes, and they would have come before the Lord at the Feast of Ingathering to thank the Lord for how he had watched over the crops and the fruit as they had grown, and how the Lord had kept his hand upon the produce and had brought the produce safely to the time of harvest and had enabled the people to harvest and to gather in the harvest. That's why it's called ingathering, because there had been a gathering in. Do you know, as we look back over 2009, surely we can say that there has been a gathering in. We thank God for the souls that have been saved this year, the souls who have come to Christ. We thank God for those two children who were saved at the 10th mission. We thank God for individuals, even over recent weeks, who have professed faith in Christ. Thank God for those who have turned to the Saviour, and those during the course of this year whose names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And maybe, just maybe, that's the tip of the iceberg, because we don't really know what has been achieved. You know, we'll only find out in eternity what has been achieved. You will only find out what your efforts have achieved when you come to be with Christ forever, when you go to the other side. Only then will you fully realize, and only then will you fully appreciate what your efforts during the year of 2009 have achieved. And so we thank God for those who have been gathered in to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been gathered into the family and the fold of God. But, you know, there's another side to it as well, because we can thank God for those who have been gathered into the services during the past year. We thank God for those who were in at the mission in Kerryfree back in the month of April. And there were people in at that mission that we did not expect to see in. And we thank God for all the individuals who came to Kerryfree. And let's take heart from Isaiah chapter 55. Let me just quote this verse. I know that this is a familiar verse, but sometimes we can find it just hard to remember what it says word for word. Let's just get it word for word. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, the word of the Lord that went forth at Kerryfree shall not return void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We need to realize afresh the power of the word of God. I believe the church in Ulster today has lost their confidence in this book. But this is where the power comes from. The power does not lie in the preacher's voice. The power comes from the pages of Holy Scripture, from the words that have been God-breathed, the words that have been inspired by the living God, the word of the Lord that liveth and abideth forever. We thank God not only for Kerryfree, we thank God for that week of revival meetings back in the month of May. And again, there were many people gathered in to celebrate with us the 1859 revival. And my, some of those meetings were worth being at. The Lord drew near in some of those meetings, and even still I can fondly remember sitting down there, and I was glad to be sitting down there where you're sitting and listening to someone else up here, but my, some of the preaching was God anointed. And so we thank God for that week of meetings. I would praise the Lord for the 10th mission. We have already touched on it, how those two little ones were converted. And we praise God for the 10th mission. I would say that the 10th mission was the highlight of 2009. First of all, because of the souls that were saved, but also because of the souls who attended. Because of the way that the Lord moved and drew in people who we never expected to be in. Indeed, there were people in that 10th mission who we hadn't even given an invitation to. And, you know, there were times during the Tenth Mission when I wondered to myself, how on earth did they even find out about the meetings? But you see, that's the work of the Lord. And what a blessed 2 weeks it was. Now, it was hard work, wasn't it? Those of you who were there at 3 o'clock in the morning will appreciate that it wasn't easy to be there guarding the tent. Hard work, but it was worth it. Thank God for the other efforts that the Lord has enabled us to be involved in during the year that has passed. What a privilege it was to be able to send all those shoeboxes to the soldiers. And we were glad to be able to send them gifts so that we could make their Christmas time a wee bit more comfortable. We have all, I'm sure, had a very comfortable, enjoyable Christmas. But the soldiers, they didn't have a particularly comfortable, enjoyable Christmas, because it's not comfortable to be out on the front line and to be facing the enemy. And yet, what a privilege it was to be able to send those practical gifts, those Christmas gifts to the soldiers. But most of all, what a privilege to be able to send those tracts and New Testaments to the soldiers. What a privilege to be involved in such an enterprise. And you know, dear friends, as we look back over the year that has gone, surely we can praise God for the ingathering. Surely, in a sense, we can praise the Lord for those who have come in contact with His Word. Now, I could have talked about the internet ministry. I haven't gone into it. But you just think about that for a wee moment. 400 or 500 downloads per month on average. 400 or 500 people listening to the Word of God. People who aren't even in the sanctuary. People from different parts, from our own country, but people from right across the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, indeed right across Europe and right across the globe. People listening to the Word of God. People who were gathered in. You know, we have a bigger congregation than you might think. Whenever you think about the internet ministry, don't you get discouraged and get downhearted because numbers aren't what we would like them to be. Don't you get discouraged because of empty pews. Our congregation is bigger than we realize. And we give the Lord all the glory for it. Tonight I want us just to bring the meeting to a close by outlining this beautiful feast of ingathering. So for a few moments, let me outline this feast for you. Some of you perhaps like to have an outline to take away with you. Well, here's the outline. First of all, this feast was a celebration. Here was a celebration. And then here was an illustration. This feast of ingathering was an illustration. And then I want us to notice that this feast was an obligation. An obligation. So for a few moments, before we come to the end of the meeting, let's think about these three thoughts. First of all, this feast of ingathering was a celebration. You know, whenever the Jewish people came to the end of the year, whenever the Lord had provided the harvest for them, the Jewish people would come with joyful hearts. Here was unbridled joy. They were celebrating. And you know, tonight we are celebrating. You see, some of the other feasts were commemorations, not celebrations. And the people were to come with solemnity. The people were to be serious and sober as they came to the feasts. The people weren't to come with smiling faces. The people were to come with a sense of solemnity. And they were to be serious minded when they came to some of the other feasts. We think of the Passover, for example. We think of the Day of Atonement. Commemorations. Times whenever there was great solemnity. But this last feast of the year was a celebration. And I can guarantee you that there were smiles all round. You know, dear friends, as we have come to the end of 2009, we have cause to smile as well. We have cause to celebrate. We have cause to be joyful. Indeed, every Sunday, we have cause to celebrate. We have cause to be joyful. You know, sometimes you would think to look at some people who come to church that they were attending a funeral. But church isn't a funeral. And our services should not be like a funeral. Oh, we haven't come to a funeral. We have come to a celebration. Yes, we should be reverent, respectful. We should fear the Lord. But celebrating and being joyful does not mean that we be irreverent. You know, you can be both joyful and reverent at the same time. So I pray that even as we have come to the end of another year, I pray that the Lord will fill our hearts with joy and that we will celebrate. Celebrate. We haven't come to celebrate ourselves tonight. We've come to celebrate the Lord and His doings, His works. Oh, let's be joyful. Here was a celebration. The people came together and there was joy and there was satisfaction and there was a sense of euphoria as the people looked back to the goodness of God. Here was a celebration. But here was an illustration. Do you know that the Feast of Ingathering is a beautiful picture of the ingathering of souls into Christ? The ingathering of the lost, the perishing, into the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Savior, the great Ark of Salvation. Turn with me to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, because there's a very interesting word used here. Genesis 49. If I can turn the page. Genesis 49, and I want you to notice verse 10. And this is a messianic prophecy. In other words, this is a verse that is pointing us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the coming of Christ, His first coming in particular. Genesis 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the names of Messiah. And it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We're thinking tonight about the Feast of Ingathering. And surely that's a picture of the gathering in of the people to Christ. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You see, at the time of the Feast of Ingathering, whenever the Jews would celebrate the Feast of Ingathering, the people would come together. There would be a great gathering together of the people. They would gather together into one area, into one place. And you know, friends, thank God today there is still a gathering spiritually into one place. There is a gathering into Christ. We have encouraged you tonight by reminding you of the souls that have been saved this year through the ministry of this church. Those souls have gathered to Christ. They have been ingathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Lord has been pleased in his sovereign power to gather into Christ souls through other churches, other denominations. Many different denominations. Perhaps denominations that wouldn't cross every T and dot every I that we would dot. But yet the Lord has used them just as he has used our own congregation. The Lord has gathered these souls into his beloved Son. And so, dear friends, whenever we think of the feast of ingathering, let's think of the one to whom souls have been gathered to, and the one to whom souls are still gathering, Shiloh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the feast of ingathering was a celebration. The feast of ingathering was an illustration. But the feast of ingathering finally was an obligation. An obligation. I want you to know, I want you to notice Exodus 23 again. If you could turn back to Exodus 23. And notice verse 17. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 17. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. If you turn over to the other passage we read, chapter 34. Chapter 34. And verse 23, we didn't read this verse earlier, but let's just read it now. Exodus 34, verse 23. Thrice in the year shall all your man children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. On three occasions in the Jewish year, all of the males were to come to the temple or to the tabernacle. They were to come to the house of the Lord. They were to come before the Lord, as it were. They had to stand before the Lord. And one of those occasions was the Feast of Ingathering, or some of the other names that are given to this feast are the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm sure you've heard of that, or even the Feast of Booths. But they're all the same, whether we call them ingathering or tabernacles or booths. This was the same feast, and this was one of the three occasions during the Jewish year when all of the males had to come before the Lord. There was an obligation. Can you see how important it is for every father to be in the house of God? Can you see how important it is for every father to lead his family by example? There is an onus on the fathers, you know, and it's still the same today. And that's what saddens me so much when I see fathers neglecting their God-given responsibility. No wonder if the children go astray, if the fathers aren't leading them by example. Sure, you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to work that one out. The Lord lays great emphasis on the duty of fathers. And so the Lord called for all the males in Israel to come before him. Here was an obligation. But you know, dear friends, I am reminded of an obligation that males and females must fulfill. You see, the Word of God tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the interesting thing is, that text, that verse, is repeated. I always thought that there was only one occurrence of that text. But I looked it up the other day, and I found that it occurs in both Romans and 2 Corinthians. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The unconverted will surely appear there and will be condemned forever. But the Lord's people will also come before the Lord. We too must stand before Christ. We will not stand there to find out whether we will be in heaven or hell. That has been decided. The moment we trusted in Christ, our salvation was decided. But we will stand before the Lord someday to give an account of our lives, to give an account of how we have served Him. I wonder on that day, will it be the case that we will have to say with the hymn writer, "By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more." I hope not. And there's no reason why any of us should have to feel like that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the Lord hasn't returned. Death hasn't taken us. And we still have the opportunity. We still have time left. How long, I don't know, but we still have some time left to serve the Lord, to surrender ourselves to Christ, to consecrate ourselves to Christ. And you know, what could be better for us to do than on the final Sunday night of 2009, what could be better than consecrating ourselves afresh to Christ, surrendering ourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying to our beloved Savior, "Lord, we're about to enter out into 2010, but Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord Jesus, I realize that there's coming a day when I will stand before You, and I don't want to be empty-handed, but I want to have my sheaves with me. Lord, I want on that day to be able to stand before You and to say that I give my all for Jesus." I pray, dear friends, that as we come to the end of 2009, as we move out into 2010, I pray that we will offer ourselves to the Lord. What did the apostle say when he wrote to the church at Rome? "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service."